Are y'all excited? I'm excited. I got to get over here to my notes. Let me see where they are. Right here.
They're in your iPad.
They're here. Right here. Exodus 14th chapter. Turn to somebody next to you and say, stand still, then go forward. I mean, y'all know we're going forward. And Moses said to the people, we're still with the people coming out of Israel, but we're still with Abraham. And we're talking about Abraham because it's such a great illustration concerning the children of Israel coming out. So he says here, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. First thing God always deals with in our life is fear.
Yeah.
Because he knows we're human. He knows that we have the symptoms of fear and things of that nature, so he deals with that. Do not be afraid. Stand still, which means stand firmly fixed on his word and his promise. Stand still and see. And notice that he's saying that you must see before you actually see the manifestation.
Yeah.
So this is talking about the eye of faith. See the salvation. See the deliverance. That word salvation. See the salvation. See the deliverance. See what God will do. See the healing. He said, which the Lord will accomplish for you today. Remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord, everybody say the Lord.
The Lord.
The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So in our last teaching, we talked about four vitally essential points concerning us being successful in our life. And that is not a word that has been coined by the world. That is a word that is in the Word of God, especially when you read Joshua, the first chapter, when God told Joshua, this is how you're going to have good success in this world. And it has nothing to do with your bank account. Success has to do with our fulfilling the purpose and the destiny that God has for us. So we talked about how that we deal with the difficulties, adversities, and major changes that we see that happens not only in our life but in the culture and in the nation. Pastor Cam talked about how to mature in love. We've got that. But today we're still on number two. We have four, but we're on number two. Okay? We may be on number two until next year. I don't know. It's what the Spirit of God wants to do. How many of you know faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing? Amen? So, the key to this is this. When you are experiencing difficulties, when you're experiencing adversity, when you see crazy things going on around you, and there are difficult times or bad reports or demonic attacks, the key is, what is the focus of your attention? What is the center of your attention? Yes, when something happens, we center our attention on that. But then you must refocus.
Yeah.
Because if you don't refocus, you'll end up sinking. Because the devil's main thrust against us is to what? Is to distract us by what we see, what we hear, what we feel, and then attack our mind with thoughts that your present circumstances are not going to change, the things in our nation are not going to change, that God's promises are not going to manifest. So therefore, again, let's look at Abraham.
Amen. Let's read in Romans 4, 17 through 24. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, not for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to those who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead.
Amen. So in verse 18, it says, contrary to hope, in hope, he believed. He believed. Trust, that means this. Contrary to natural hope.
Yeah.
Contrary to what he was seeing in the natural. Matter of fact, his natural hope was gone. Did you know there is a natural faith and a spiritual faith?
Yep.
Let me show you something. Would everybody stand up for just a moment, please? Everybody stand up for just a moment. All right. Good. Just stretch out a little bit. A little bit like that. Okay. Now, let's all sit back down. Thank you. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you, before you sit back down, you check the chair to make sure it would hold you?
Nope.
Nope. Nope. You just had natural faith in the manufacturer of that chair, that the manufacturer of that chair knew exactly what they were doing, so therefore you had a natural faith and trusted that when you sat down, you would not end up on the floor.
Right.
How much more, if you trust a manufacturer, if you trust in your car getting you to where you're going to go home today, or restaurant or anything else, you turn the switch. Now, I've been in cars before that I had to pray in the spirit before I turned the switch, because I would hear this clicking. Because I was having to believe God for a battery. So I've been in those situations before. But the majority of us turn the switch expecting.
Yeah.
And we have faith and trust that whoever put that car together, it's going to crank. It's going to then, when I put it in drive or reverse or whatever it is to get it, it's going to take me where I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have that much faith in all of these things that we use in our house, we use every single day, how much more should I have faith in the God who created everything?
Yep. Yeah.
And yet, we doubt him more than we doubt manufacturers.
That's probably because of the way that the world views hope is controlled outcomes. So whenever you look at hope and faith in the world says, if you have enough money, if you have the right job, if you have all of these other things, you can control and manipulate the outcomes so that you have nothing to worry about. But the world doesn't take into account that trial and disaster and all of those things, they aren't respecters of persons. So whenever a trial comes knocking on your door, it doesn't care how much money you have in the bank account. Whenever a difficult situation is arising in your life, it doesn't care whether or not you have a sturdy or stable job. I mean, you can ask millionaires all over the world who are suffering with cancer right now. A millionaire can suffer with cancer, and it doesn't matter how much money they have, they can still die, right? So the world kind of pronounces this idea that that the only true hope that you can have is hope that's tied to a controlled outcome. But there are no such things as controlled outcomes. And so that's why faith and hope in God is so important, because God is the only thing, God is the only entity that can control outcomes. He's the only one. And so whenever we live in this fallen world, we live in this world where we can be affected by the different things, the different trials, the different tribulations. If we try and put our faith in anything other than God, those things can let us down. Those things can be our downfall. But whenever we put our faith and our hope in God, we're leaning and relying on something that's greater than the outcome or than the situation that we're going through. And so that's why some people will say, well, you look at the Bible where it says that, where Jesus looks at his disciples, he says, it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. But then he says, with God, all things are possible. But it's so interesting there. He's saying that. Why? Because a rich man, what does it say about the church of Laodicea in Revelations? You are rich. You have said in your heart, you are rich and you have need of nothing. So that's what happens in the world. The world thinks if you can accumulate wealth, if you can accumulate things, if you can accumulate connections and networking and all of these different things, then you have need of nothing. But you can look around the world, look at the, I don't know how many of you guys have checked the stock market recently, but they're touchable. They're touchable. There are people right now, and we even see it being exposed right now. There are people who thought that they could do what they wanted to do, be who they wanted to be, and get away with it, and they're being exposed right now. Why? Because they were leaning and relying on their money, leaning and relying on their things. So this is where we get into an interesting situation biblically, that it's not wrong to have things. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to be blessed. It's not wrong to have nice clothes. It's not wrong to drive a nice car. It's not wrong to have a nice house. It's not that. So there's these two gospels that we find in the world today. It's a poverty gospel and a prosperity gospel. And really where God wants us is somewhere in the middle. Yes. Where we are not. We don't think that God doesn't want to bless us, that he wants us walking around in rags and that we're somehow supposed to be like in mourning all the time or something like that. But we find ourselves in this spot right in the middle where we trust only in God. And if we have nothing, we're okay. And if we have everything, we're okay. That's what true hope is. Hope is not this dependency on the outcomes that I can control. You can really know whether or not you're living in hope and faith by how often you talk about the situations that you need to handle. Can I say that again? A good thermometer for the level of faith and hope that you are walking in, the level of trust that you are placing on God, is by listening to how often you talk about the things that you need to fix. Well, I've just got to get myself out. Once I have this business deal, or once I get this promotion, or once I can do this, or once I'm in this place, or once I, that's how you know I've been corrupted by the world's idea of controlled outcomes.
That's good.
But whenever I get into the place where I start to say, I know that God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I know that God took on my diseases on the cross, and by his stripes I am healed. I know that God. You know, there's some people that get upset about how much we talk about the things coming out of your mouth, but this is your thermometer for your faith. Mm-hmm. This is your thermometer. I caught myself yesterday saying something where I was like, well, I just need to. And I went, you know what? Actually, that's God's problem to handle. That's God's issue. And so what I have to do is I surrender to his word. I surrender to his promises. And the only thing that I need to make sure that I'm doing is remaining in connection and fellowship with him.
Yes.
That's my job. My job is to stay connected to the life source. And whenever I stay connected to his word, whenever I stay connected to worship and all of these different things, I can find myself like Abraham. You know, Pastor pointed out the other day whenever we were talking about this text in a staff meeting, in our Sunday preparation meeting, he talked about how if you read Romans 4 in the New King James Version, you'll find a word that's not actually in the original manuscripts in the Bible. So whenever we read in the New King James Version, it says that Abraham did not consider his body.
Consider not.
Yeah, but yeah. It says here in the ESV, it's really important, verse 19, in the NSV, Romans 4, 19, it says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. So when you have faith in God, you can consider the things that you're going through. You can look at the cancer in your body or the lack of money in your bank account or you can consider the fact that your child's not serving the Lord, or you can consider the different trials and struggles and tribulations that you're going through. You can look at those things, know that they're true, know that they're a reality that you're living in, but not weaken in faith.
Yes.
That's the most important part. It's not that you pretend like those things don't believe. There was a movement that went on in the body of Christ where people thought that if they came down for prayer that they were that they had bad confession. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you have to be able to consider what you're going through. You have to be able to see the things that you're going through, but the fact the thing that defines whether or not you're in faith is whether or not that thing causes you to waver.
Yeah, and the Bible says he did not weaken in faith.
Yeah.
Now watch this, because this is so vitally important to understand the words that are in this sentence. When he considered his body.
Hmm.
Okay? He took the facts that were there and says, okay, I am 100 years old. Sarah is 90. I am impotent. It ain't gonna happen. In the natural. The Bible says he considered, he looked at. But what did he do?
Yeah.
He did not continue to look at him being impotent. He turned and refocused and looked at the one who is omnipotent.
All-powerful.
The all-powerful one.
Come on.
He looked at the promise. He looked to God. Every time that he would look at his body, knowing that his body would not function, he continued to say and confess with his mouth, God, you said that I would be a father of many nations.
Come on.
God, you said that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Lord, in other words, what he's doing is he's not trying that if I say that 15 times, something's going to happen. No, he just simply rested in the fact and saying, God, you said this. I'm totally trusting you. It is not my word. It is your word. It is a covenant that you have made with me. You're the one who made it. You're the one who said that you are a God that does not change. You will not lie. My focus and my eyes are on you.
Come on.
Totally on you. Totally on your word. Do you know, when they said Abraham, that means father of many nations. That was being said every single time. Abraham, 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 father of many nations, father of many nations. So why would God change his name? First of all, he prophesied. Hmm. He prophesied what his destiny was going to be. And the other reason that he did that is this. He had to make sure that Abraham heard that every single day.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My confession does not change what God has already planned and promised to do.
Yeah.
My confession keeps me focused on what God has said and who he is that said it. My confession is my rudder,
yeah,
that keeps me going exactly in the direction that I need to be going. And I am speaking in the middle of adverse circumstances, in the middle of what looks like is dead and over and cannot be revived in any way, shape, or form, I'm still focused on God. I'm still allowing my mouth to proclaim His promise and say that promise over and over again. Why? Yeah. Because once God has established something, it is now up to me, not in my own power, but in the power of the Lord and empowered by the Holy Spirit, but it's up to me to keep my focus, and it's up to me to keep speaking what God had said, because now once I have prayed, once God has given me the promise, now comes the fight of faith.
Yeah. Can I add something there?
Yes,
too?
Absolutely.
You know who else had to say Abraham's name? Sarah. So we don't have this in our notes. I feel this by the Spirit of God. It wasn't only Abraham who was sitting there going, I am a father of many nations. It was Sarah, his wife, who was speaking to him even whenever there wasn't a reality yet. So it's not only what we confess over ourselves that's important, it's what we confess over other people.
That's so good.
And it's what we can, it's what we confess over other people even when we don't see the fruit of who God has said that they are. So one of the most important things that we can do in marriage or with our children or with our friends in our community here, right? Because we're one big family here. One of the most important things that we can do is making sure that we have a confession that lines up with the Word of God over ourselves and then a confession that lines up with the Word of God over those around us. Because as we speak those things to other people, it's just adding to that faith that people are hearing. Sometimes, I find it so interesting sometimes that we can believe that God can touch everything but our own circumstance. Have you ever found it that way? Have you ever found it that it's really easy to believe that God can heal somebody else's marriage, but it's not so easy to heal your own? Or you can believe that it's really easy for God to bring somebody else's child home, but not your own. Or it's easy to believe that God can affect your friend group in somebody else's friend group in a positive way, but not affect your own. And so we continue to speak, or we can believe that some other city can be a great city, but we don't believe that Fayetteville can be a great city. So we say things, what we begin to confess. We might even be really good at confessing the word of God over ourselves. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. But how's your husband doing?
He's blessed and highly favored.
He's above and not beneath. And that's what I'm talking about right there. How's your wife doing?
He loves me the way Christ loves the church. My husband loves me when he's verbally abuses and everything. But you are speaking. What are you doing? You're doing exactly what we talked about last week. You're calling those things which be not as though they are.
Come on.
And the more that I speak it in accordance to God's word, guess what? Guess who's working? The Holy Spirit.
I'm good. That was it.
Yes.
It's a little rabbit trail.
That's good. That's good. We should be calling the person out, not to fight them or get mad at them. We should be calling the person that God created them to be.
Come on.
We should be speaking to that person. We should be calling that person out. We should be calling out the destiny and the purpose of our children. You may not know exactly what vocation that God had set them in, but I can tell you this, you can start calling them exactly who God says that they are. Son, I just want to let you know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, daughter, you are God's daughter.
Come on.
You have purpose. You have meaning. When we start speaking and calling out those things that are in the Word of God, what you're doing is not only are you calling those things which may not be right now as though they are, but here's what you're doing. Every time you speak to them, you're sowing seed.
Yeah.
You're either sowing seed of strife, doubt, unbelief, hatred. Just think of the things that are being spoken in our nation right now. And the body of Christ, so many of us are in the same boat, acting the same way, speaking the unbelief, speaking the doubt, speaking the hatred, speaking the prejudice, speaking against this one or that one, and speaking these things out of our mouth.
Yeah.
Instead of going to God like Abraham did and just saying, God, I'm trusting on you because you said, this is what I say to the Lord every single day. Lord, you said that if you found one person to stand in the gap for a nation, you would withhold judgment. Lord, you are the God and the King, just look this up, over all the nations. The King's hand is, the King's heart is in your hand. And Lord, I am praying right now for our nation. I am praying, Lord God, for every political party.
Yes.
I am praying for
That's
our
right.
president. I am praying for our nation. I'm praying for our governor. I'm praying for our mayor. I'm praying, Lord God, and I'm praying for your divine intervention.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that God can't change a nation, if you think that God cannot move in a city, a nation, or a world, then I don't know what your view is, but you need to get your head back into the Word of God. You need to see how great our God is. If God created this thing, He can handle it.
Yeah.
He can handle it. And we've got to get ourselves out of unbelief. We've got to quit listening to the voice of the false prophets.
Yeah.
And we've got to get into what the Bible says, and we must pray what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That's the reason we're called people of faith. It's the reason we're called word people.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, man. I got so much going on in my mind right now. So, it says that Abraham did not waver when he considered. So there is nothing, we keep on saying that, there's nothing wrong with considering. You know, you look at maybe the state of, the racial reconciliation in our nation right now. Let's take that, for instance. We can look at something like that, and we look at ourselves and we think like, okay, well, we need to speak to that, but how are we speaking to it? So, he considered his body being dead. He didn't continue to call his body dead, 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 dead. He considered it. He knew it was, but then he still called it what God said it would be. So whenever we look at our nation and the different situations that are going on, what are we spending more time considering? Are we spending more time considering what seems to be true or what is true? Or are we taking more time considering what God has said?
The truth.
The truth. We say it all of the time. It's one of my favorite quotes that we say in this house is that truth trumps what's true. Truth overcomes the truth or what's true. And so we need to listen, again, listen to ourselves. Listen to ourselves. And I'm not saying it's not wrong for us to say, all right, there's racism or there's this or there's that or there's disunity between parties or whatever. It's not wrong to say those things, but we need to pay attention to what we're, the balance of what we're saying. The balance, because if we speak more to the death and the dying and what's not of God in our nation, instead of taking time to call out what is of God in our nation, then we're just going to continue. We're continuing to prophesy death. We're continuing to prophesy. If Abraham would have been sitting there going, my body is dead, my body is dead. I mean, but God did say that I'll be the father of many nations, but my body is dead. No, he spent more time hearing the word Abraham, 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 father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations. And so even if America doesn't act like one nation under God, we need to be the ones declaring that. We can't wait for America to look like that before we start speaking it. You don't wait till the cancer's gone before you start declaring that you're healed. You don't wait for you to be absolutely walking in righteousness before you declare that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't wait until you're totally holy before you start declaring that you are holy. We can't wait for this nation to be one nation under God before we start declaring that. We can't wait for our nation to be a unified nation before we start saying United States of America. We've got to start speaking those things that are not as though they are.
Right, right.
We don't deny it. We don't act like it doesn't exist, but we speak.
Right.
Before. It's like all the time, like I just said a couple minutes ago, why do we wait? Well, one day I'll get this, or one day America will look like this. And whenever it gets to that point, that's when I'll start speaking the truth. That's not God, even an ounce of God. God is the God who sees chaos and speaks order.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's why the Bible says, occupy until he comes.
And he gave us the keys.
He gave us the keys. He gave us the authority. And so it's our duty to speak those things that are not as though they are. We cannot wait for things to look like the Word of God before we start speaking the Word of God. If that was true, man, we'd all be in trouble. Because the Holy Spirit is our standard. But God calls what is to come like it is present. So the kingdom of God, or the promises of God, they are both imminent and present. They are both coming and they are here. That is how God operates, and that's how we have to start thinking. We can't think when it comes, I'll start acting or I'll start saying or I'll start believing. We have to believe that it is. That it is. I've talked to you guys about this before, that God was healer before he ever healed anybody. Mm-hmm. God was powerful before he ever did anything powerful. God was who he was before he ever did anything that manifested the reality of who he truly is. And whenever we come into relationship with God, we line up with that as well. We are before we ever manifest.
Amen.
The promises of God are yes and amen.
Yes.
But what's really important there is that the promises of God are yes and in him. Amen. And so if I am in him, then all of that stuff is my present reality, even if it's not manifesting right now. So the marked difference between a believer, tying back into controlled outcomes, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is that we believe that it is before we ever see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things
not seen.
I knew I was in Covenant Love Church. I knew y'all knew that scripture. The evidence of things hoped for, or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. That's the power of faith. Righteousness was imputed to Abraham because he believed it before he ever had it.
Yes.
Before the law ever existed, before there was ever like real covenant, real visceral, tangible covenant with God. And so we are supposed to be imitators of God. We are supposed to be conformed into the image of his son. And so we've got to start acting and talking like God acts and talks. And that is calling things as they are before they ever manifest that reality.
And you're not, you don't project into the future and you don't say this, well, one day I will have this, or one day this is mine. I'm just waiting on this to happen. Yes, patient and endurance, but what you and I are instructed to do in the Word of God is that we are to call that which be not as though it is. And it's not lying. It is speaking the way God speaks.
Yes.
It is doing what God said. And so, and you remember when I said, but Pastor, you just got to call it the way it is. God doesn't call it the way it is. He will speak and say, this is true, this is the way it is, but I'm God, I can change the way it is. It is amazing that we can say, I am saved, but I have a problem saying, I am healed.
But it's the same word.
It's the same identical word. You know, I can look at my circumstances and I can say I am saved. Yeah, I'm saved, but I'm not blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. What am I doing? I'm calling those things which be not as though they are. I'm speaking what God says. And what we need to understand is that God says this in Jeremiah, I watch over my word to perform it. And it's not just that my faith has developed over the years, but it's not that sometimes just when I speak something that my faith is like God's, it's going to happen. When I speak, I need to stay in faith because I'm going to see God do what he promised that he would do. But the key is he might not do it in my timing. And he might not do it the way I want him to do. What I do is cast all my care upon him and put it in his hands and continue to speak his word to keep me continuing to advance and to go forward with the faith that I have, the hope, the and by the way, hope there means joyful expectation. That I have joyful expectation. And see, one of the things, golly, I can't believe it's already 12 o'clock.
Oh, jeez.
But one of the things that we need to understand, everybody, please listen to what I'm getting ready to say. We have a tendency, like Abraham, to consider the deadness of his body, but we have a tendency to consider what's going on in some of our states and some of the places in the United States of America. And we look at what's happening with people and how people are acting, and we're like, you gotta be kidding me. Well, did you know that people used to look at you and say the same thing? I can't believe she's acting like that. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe every single one of us. But listen to me very carefully. When there was chaos in Genesis, the first chapter, when there was darkness upon the face of the deep and there was chaos, the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering. And he was waiting.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit had expectation that what was going to come out of God's mouth, that once it was spoken, he then would go into action and cause it to happen. Okay? So here's the one thing that I want to remind you of that we forget. The Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit of truth, and the Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit who comes on the inside of us, but the Holy Spirit is the one who will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We forget the power of the Holy Spirit that can move in this nation and take darkness and chaos and violence and everything else and When we began to call upon him to go to these groups and to go into these cities and to go into these neighborhoods and to go into these places to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If the early church was praying concerning the apostle Paul, who was Saul, and they were praying because he was the one assigned to come and to bring the church into destruction.
Come on.
He was the one assigned to bring and put people in jail and to destroy families. Don't tell me they were not praying for that man.
Come on.
This man was a murderer. This man, his actions were atrocious and so far from God, but yet he was acting religious. And I believe with all my heart that the church was praying for that man. And then one day on his way to bring persecution and to mess people's lives up, Jesus showed up.
Come on.
Jesus manifested himself to him and said, Saul, what's the deal here, bro? And Saul's, who are you, Lord? And it's amazing to me, he said this. He was so convicted by the Spirit of God and the presence of Jesus that out of his mouth came this. Who are you, Lord?
Master.
He said, I am Jesus. Don't think that this nation is too far gone. Don't think that any person in any political party is too far gone. I'm telling you, we need to be interceding. We don't need to be speaking out of our mouth things that can just allow the enemy to continue to manifest himself and to use our words to walk on and to fly on.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to bind, we need to loose, but we need to be praying for every single person.
Come on.
That's who we are. For God so loved the world that he gave. He loves every single body in every political party, no matter how they think or what they're doing right now. And some of us have been blinded so much to politics.
Come on.
That we can't even begin to pray and intercede for the people that we are complaining and murmuring about. Instead of getting on our knees and say, God, Holy Spirit, move on them. Lord Jesus, walk into our capital. Lord Jesus, walk into their room. Lord Jesus, come into their car. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to them and save them and deliver them. Let the blinders come off of their eyes and let them see what they need is truth. Let them see the truth. If the church started praying like that,
come on,
we would have an incredible, mighty move of God.
Come on,
we would see all of us. Don't tell me God can't change darkness. Don't tell me he can't turn chaos into something that is beautiful and the way he would want it to be. We've gotten so caught up in the natural realm that we have forgotten the power of the spiritual realm. God is calling us to get our focus back. He's calling us
yes,
to get back in our prayer closets.
Yes,
He's calling us to call out. That's what we did this morning. That's what we did this morning. I had an encounter with the Lord in my prayer time this morning. And he said, son, tell them to start praising my name.
Come on.
Exalt my name. And praise my name in the nation. Praise my name in the city. Praise my name in your house.
Come
praise
on.
My name in your business.
Come on.
We're caught up in so much negativity that we can barely do it. And if we do it, we only do it for 3 or 4 minutes, and then we kind of just go back down.
Yeah.
He's calling us to wake up.
Yes. I think we should challenge ourselves in this. I think maybe for the next week, you should wake up every morning and think of the politician, the family member, whoever it is that you least like. Set a timer for 5 minutes and speak nothing but life over them.
And pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit to move in their lives. You know what? Listen to me. You want scripture on what he just said? Jesus said, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who despitefully use you. Can you see us blessing people that we... Have you ever thought about calling our nation to peace? Have you ever thought about calling us to unity and harmony?
Come on.
And walking in the love of God?
Come on. If we can't do it here, who's going to do it?
Or are we looking at a situation like Abraham did at 100 years old, and he said, considered his body being dead. You think this nation is dead? You think you're going to give this over to the devil?
And it doesn't matter who's in office at that point. When you are kingdom-minded, you know that it doesn't matter who is sitting in an oval office. When the King of Kings is on the throne and the earth is his footstool, and you're talking about a God who sits in the heavens and laughs when kings plot vain things, God is so much bigger than the White House. God is so much bigger than the UN. God is so much bigger than geopolitical situations God is so much bigger than that. He created the universe. He measures the universe with the span of his hand. And I'm not saying that voting's not important. I'm not saying any of that. Don't at me.
We do vote. We do vote.
Yeah. But it is so petty compared to the power of prayer.
Come on.
The name I check on a ballot has nowhere near the amount of power that I have when I stand before my King of Kings and I declare a thing and say amen. When I declare a thing and I say amen in the presence of Yahweh, in the presence of the great I am. Pharaoh was not even a drop in the bucket.
Come on.
To God.
Not even his whole army.
Not even his whole army. And what did God say? He said, I have heard the cries of my people. That's what he said in Exodus 3. I have heard the cries. I didn't hear the way they voted. I heard the cries of my people.
And I have come down.
And I have come down. So it doesn't matter who's in Congress, who's in the House of Representatives, who's in the Senate. It doesn't matter our judicial it matters God Almighty hears the cries of his people and he comes down. The most powerful thing you can do is come into agreement with the King of Kings and say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Speak life.
Yes.
Speak life over this nation.
Yes.
November 4th comes and it doesn't matter what CNN and Fox say. Speak life.
Life. November 3rd.
Yes, November 3rd. Speak life.
We intercede, we pray. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. the most powerful entity that has been given power is not a political party. It is the church of Jesus Christ. A political party is not seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are seated with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have the power and the privilege and the responsibility of prayer. And I'm telling you, I serve a big God.
Come on.
I serve a great God. And He is still a way maker. He is still a miracle worker. He is still a promise keeper. He is still light in the darkness. And He can dispel the darkness. And He can turn any situation around for our good. But I must believe Him. And I must speak it.
Come on, Jesus.
And pray in the name of Jesus. You may not be praying right now, but please start. You say, well, I don't really know how to pray. A lot of times there are issues going on that I don't know how to pray in my understanding. I will pray the Word of God, but I'll start praying in the Spirit.
Yes.
You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and get the spiritual language, supernatural spiritual language that God gives you. So the Bible says that when you pray in tongues, another language that God gives you supernaturally, God says this, you're speaking directly to me and you're praying my perfect will for that situation. Why do you think the devil fights praying in tongues or speaking in tongues?
Come on, Jesus.
Because He doesn't know what you're praying to God. And He knows that when you say, okay, Lord, I don't understand everything that's going on right now, but I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, pray through me for this situation. I didn't learn that in high school or college. That came supernaturally when in my own bedroom, and I said, Lord, in the book of Acts, I see everybody getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, evidence speaking in tongues. And I've been told this is not for today. But I believe your word. If this is for today right now, baptize me in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And right there in my own bedroom, wham! And I've never stopped speaking. In any way, shape, or form. I'm still speaking, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what? I was getting ready to do something. The Lord just checked me real strong. I was getting ready to say, I apologize at the time right now. And then the Lord just said, don't you do that. You know, we don't need Christianettes anymore. Just running around looking for a sermonette. We don't need drive-through church anymore. We need the real deal. And I have to be obedient to the Lord right now. Because there are people in here, you've been fighting depression.
Yeah.
And some of you have not been able to sleep. And you've literally, it's almost tormenting. Some of you just got that sinking feeling. And it's just like you're walking in this like a cloud or something. And you're like, what is this? But all of a sudden, you just feel yourself just going on like a roller coaster. And you're just depressed. And depression is trying to set itself into you right now. If that's you, stand up right where you are. If that's you, stand up right where you are.
Jesus.
That's what the Spirit of God showed me this morning. He said, the enemy is attacking many of my people with the spirit of depression. He said, you break it off of them this morning.
Jesus.
And you tell them to keep him away. Keep him. Don't allow him to come back and put that on you. You have the power of the name of Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and don't be ashamed.
Absolutely
don't be ashamed
not.
Of that. I don't know if you watched CL Talks the other night, but
yeah, I was being attacked,
with
and
depression.
I was trying to figure it out. I went to my wife and was talking to her, and I was in the kitchen, and I just said, Lord, what in the world is this? And just like that, the Holy Spirit just dropped this in my heart, the spirit of depression. And then the Holy Spirit said this to me, why are you so silent? And I stood right there in that kitchen and said, in the name of Jesus, I had Tava pray for me, but I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of depression.
Jesus.
And it was like it just broke.
Jesus.
And I believe with what's going on in this world today, there's a lot of attacks. And we've got to know that we have the armor of God. Those of you that have been dealing with depression, raise your hands to the Lord right now. Just raise your hands right now. Right now. And those of you that are viewing, you raise your hands right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is here right now. Here right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus, you foul demon spirits of depression and oppression and torment. In the name of Jesus. I break your power right now over everyone that is standing here.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, those that are watching, in the name of Jesus, loose them. Go. In the name of Jesus. Depression, go. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And you stay away in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Now, start thanking him right now. You're standing. Start thanking him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I declare freedom. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands back up. The Lord's going to do something right now again. Lord, I thank you for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon all of them that is standing there right there. I thank you for a fresh power, fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Fire! Fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, 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 Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've got sickness in your body or disease in your body, stand up, please. Stand up. Sickness, any disease, somebody has got arthritis. Somebody's got arthritis. Raise your hand. Where are you? Great day.
Good night. In Jesus' name.
Raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands.
Be healed,
raise your hands.
In Jesus' name.
Raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Healing power flow, Jesus.
Lord, I send your word. Lord Jesus, you are here to confirm the word. You are the healer. In the name of Jesus, my brother, my sister, be healed.
Healing power flow.
I loose you from arthritis. I loose you from sickness and infirmity. I loose you, you spirit of arthritis. Loose them now. In the name of Jesus. Loose them. Father, I thank you right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for lubricating their joints. I thank you for healing and making them totally whole. In the name of Jesus, I speak to sickness and disease in the name of Jesus, loose and let go. I command every cell of cancer, die in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for healing right now, for healing kidneys. I thank you for healing kidneys. I thank you for healing backs.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
I thank you for it, Father, right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I command all pain. Go.
Jesus.
Go. In the name of Jesus. I declare to somebody's watching me, rise up and be healed in the name of Jesus. 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 I rebuke migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. I loose you from migraine headaches right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke sleep apnea right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare tonight you shall have sweet sleep, deep sleep, undisturbed sleep. I rebuke the nightmares in the name of Jesus. And I declare no more in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus. I want you to just raise your hands right where you're seated right now and just start praising Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you,
Jesus.
Glorify you.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
You are good.
Thank you for your strength. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you that have literally been physically and mentally tired and weary right now because of family issues and other things, there's a fresh anointing just like a dew coming down right now. There's a fresh anointing coming. There's a fresh anointing falling of the power of the Holy Spirit right now to revitalize you. Just raise your hand and receive it right now. It's right there. Fresh rain of the Holy Spirit. Fresh rain. Some of you have been dry. Some of you have been weary and dry. Fresh rain. Rain of the Holy Spirit. Fresh rain of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Some of you have been feeling like a desert, but right now there are pools that are forming by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Drink! You've been thirsty. Drink of the Spirit of the living God. Drink! Some of you have been operating in fear. I break the power of the spirit of fear. I loose you from the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus.
Consecrate us, Jesus.
Some of you are going through a very dry and hard time in a relationship right now. And in the name of Jesus, I speak peace and I release the love of Jesus. The love of the Holy Spirit to come into the hearts, melting that which has been frozen. Spirit of God is saying to some of you right now, you've pulled up a drawbridge. You've built your walls up. Let the bridge down, because you're not even letting me in. Put the bridge down and let me come in. And let me heal.
Yeah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Some of you, if you'll say this right now, Father, regardless, this has nothing to do with your feelings. Has nothing to do with what has happened. But it has to do with not your past and your present right now, but it has to do where you're going and where God has for you and what He wants in your future. Right now, you must say, Father, I forgive and release, and I do it by faith. I release and I do it by faith. I release and I forgive in the name of Jesus. And here comes the Lord saying, the moment that you do that and release them to me, then I will give you times of refreshing. And then I will work to turn what you think is impossible to what I see that can be changed and is possible. Release by faith. Release and forgive right now by faith. Forgiveness is obedient to God. It's not what you feel, and you can't go back into what has happened, but it's, Father, I trust you and I release right now. Let the drawbridge come down. Let him. You may not let someone else in right now, but let him. He wants to come in. Let him in. There it is right there. There it is right there. There is refreshing.
Yes.
There is peace.
Yes.
There is healing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I don't know about you, the presence of God in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm telling you, there is some restoration that is taking place right now in this place. I hear this right now in my spirit. The prodigal is coming. Do not give up on your son or your daughter. Do not give up. Do not give up. Don't listen to the enemy. Do not listen to the enemy. Do not go by what you're hearing and what you're seeing. Do not give up. Continue to press in. Do not give up. I am working where you cannot see me working. I am working. And the prodigal is coming. The prodigal is coming back.
Yes, Jesus. Oh.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.